Blech, who is certainly well known to us. He's assistant professor at JSS and the Rav of the Young Israel of Oceanside. I see we're heavily weighted towards Rabbanim of Young Israels today, so you've been in good company.
Must compliment Rabbi Lerner. Yours was indeed an excellent presentation. And implicit in it was a halachic understanding and demonstration of the fact that Gila Royos is different. You touched upon a number of words in order to make that clear. Even as you said, it's Seichel HaYosher that it should be. You wouldn't necessarily extend it to other things, but you know that with regards to Gilu Arroyos, we're talking about the essence of Kedusha. I didn't tell you that Chazal indicate that in terms of the Dibros this past week, there's a special reason why Lo Sinaf was placed where it was, because every number has a specific meaning, and number 7 is, of course, the number associated with Kedusha. Hence, Lo Sinaf is number 7. Kedoshim Tiyu, you are correct, Purushim Arayos. Separated from Arayos, that is the definition of Kedusha. Rav Kook's entire development of the philosophy of Kedushin being the antithesis of Kedesha, meaning that when you take that which is recognized by the Gemara and Shabbos as the major drive of a human being, long before Freud, we said that it was the essence of one's energies. The greater a Talmud Chacham, the greater the drive, then we can at least get the beginnings of an understanding of what makes the sexual area so significant. But I do not think from a Hashkafic point of view we have yet defined it properly. And so that is what I consider my role to be today, as an overview rather than in terms of specifics, and to share with you a Vilna Gaon comment which I believe is related specifically to this and may be applied in magnificent manner, to share with you an Ibn Ezra, to share with you a Sadr Gaon, who together outline areas of sexual perversion and the concept behind them in order to grasp what it is that makes it different, for after all, it would seem to be just one of the mitzvos. To include something extremely relevant, one should be sensitive to the fact that, what you raised before is a question, if in the past the moral picture and the sexual definition of halacha was one area of Jewish law, today, with the reality of what some people are calling the black plague of the 20th century, or at least the potential for the equivalent of the Middle Ages bubonic plague, with the AIDS problem then, the concept of morality and all of the laws attendant upon it no longer stay in the category of Latinov, but could well perhaps be under the aegis of Pikuach Nefesh. This is a problem of survival, not simply in the religious ethical sense, but in terms of what is happening, it could well spell the survival of mankind. And I hope I'm not being too broad and I'm not exaggerating. Why is Gilu Arroyos so much the concern of Yahadus? We find that three laws are singled out for a status that makes them different than any of the other 610. For all other mitzvahs, we apply the principle of b'chai b'hem b'lo sh'yamos b'hem. But with regard to three, there is a halacha of yehoreg v'yal yavor. And of course, the three of Gilu Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. And I know the sources, and I know how the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, explains how we know that these three, in fact, are different. There must be a makor, for if there were not a makor, they would be under the master principle of v'chai b'hem. When I look at these three, I have a problem with one of them. You must understand what we are saying here when we declare Yehoreg v'al-Yavor. It means that although normally one of the sources for Pikuach Nefesh Doche Es Hakol, aside from V'chai Behem, is V'shamru V'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos Lasos Es HaShabbos L'dorosam, which means observe the Shabbos in a manner whereby you will be able to observe Es HaShabbos in an ongoing manner L'dorosam, so better to violate one and be able to keep many more. That would make sense. So let me violate it this one time and then let me be able to fulfill many more. You just saw with regard to the trial in Eretz Yisrael, the person who identified Ivan said that he was witness to the scene where this girl had somehow miraculously gotten out of the gas chamber after everyone else was killed in that particular time when they were gassed, and she was still alive. And Ivan took a Jewish worker and said to him, "Rape her." And he refused. And then they were both killed. That was halachic. One might say, but let me violate once and then to lead a life of kedusha many, many more years. That might have an aspect of the halacha that you were speaking of, but it's even more than that. For these three, what we are saying is, better to die than to have the stain of any one of these three sins upon your neshama. Die in purity. I ask you the following question. I understand. It is quite logical to me, philosophically, why two of these three are Yehoreg v'al-Yavor. Because they quite clearly represent the end of the line of a well-known category of Jewish law. I need not belabor the point. It is obvious that there is a basic division of mitzvos into Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LaChavero, and with that division from the Luchos, we could well grasp, we may have the rationale for why Shvichas Damim and Avodah Zarah are Yehoreg v'al-Yavor. For if we were to make a line representing the laws of Bein Adam LaChavero, and there are many, in terms of what we may not do to another or what we should do for another. The positives help in countless different ways. The negatives, do not hurt, do not insult, do not be mazik, etc., 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 etc. Until the end of the line, the final way in which, the most horrible way in which one may negate the entire sequence of Bein Adam LaChavero is clearly Shvichas Damim. Shvichas Damim is the end of the line of a category. And hence I grasp why there should be something for which man should be prepared to die. Let that be the end in terms of Bein Adam LaChavero, and have implicit in it the entire category of Bein Adam LaChavero. Similarly, I understand why Avodah Zarah is a Yehoreg v'al-Yavor. There are many ways in which we express our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many mitzvos whose purpose it is to intensify the relationship. Tefillah, listening to chukim, etc., etc., etc. But no one will deny that the end of the line is the way in which one most clearly rejects Bein Adam LaMakom is Avodah Zarah. Which is why Rabbi Eliezer, when he says that you learn out that Avodah Zarah is a Yehoreg v'al-Yavor, uses the phrase b'chol nafshecha, implying that there is something that you must die for. How does he know that b'chol nafshecha, that there is something that you must give up your life for, represents the category of Avodah Zarah? I mean, simply the pasuk just says b'chol nafshecha achi yitlus nafshecha. So I know that there is a chiyuv at times to give up your life. How do I know that it refers to Avodah Zarah? Rashi there makes clear, because it is as a follow-up of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad v'yahavta. You do not give up, exchange that which you love for another, and you do not do that b'chol nafshecha, even if it is at the cost of your life. Hence I say simply that I understand Avodah Zarah and I understand Shvichas Damim, but I have difficulty with grasping the severity of the law of Gilu Arroyos, Why is it a Yehurig V'al Yavar? What I am asking is, if for the first two, it represents the end of the line of a category, I do not seem to be familiar with a third category for which this may be the ultimate. Unless I familiarize myself with a remarkable concept developed by the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu at the end in Hoazinu, where he in fact says, and this is powerful in many, many areas. I'll illustrate with just a few because you'll be able to apply them in, I believe, every major area where you have a threefold division of the totality of Torah mitzvos. There is a third category, aside from Lamakom and Lachavero. Let me identify it for you by utilizing the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of Ashlosha Devarim HaOlam HaMeid Al HaTorah V'Al Avod V'Al Gmilut Chasadim. Here too one may ask, Avoda and Gmilut Chasadim I grasp as obvious definitions of the two main areas. Avoda is Bein Adam L'Makom, Gmilut Chasadim is Bein Adam L'Chavero. But what is Torah in terms of its category? And mind you, I wish to do this first. I am very familiar with, as all of you are, the fact that these three pillars of Judaism are in fact represented by Shlosha Miyodeya, Shlosha Niyodeya, Shlosha Avos, the three pioneers, each one of whom came before Klal Yisrael was developed as a nation in order to personify, in order to bring to life that which then became an Ikar. Hence Avraham is Gmilus Chasodim, Yitzchak is Avoda, and Yaakov is Torah. What do I mean when I say Torah in terms of a category? Says the Vilna Gaon, one may draw three arrows in terms of relationships. I have an arrow from me to God, that's an arrow up, Bein Adam L'Makom. I have an arrow from me to you, it's Bein Adam L'Chavero. You may ask what other possibility exists, and the answer is simple. I have the third responsibility of turning inward, and that category has a name, and that is Bein Adam La'atzmo, man to himself. If you ask me, and this is fascinating in context of the Mishnah in Avos, what is the ultimate of Torah? I would say Torah is to be what you can be. It is to perfect yourself, your Tzelem Elokim. It is to be that which rests within you to the ultimate. And let's illustrate it with another set of three which brings this out magnificently. In the Machzor terminology, we have the categories which may negate the evil decree being phrased as Utshuva, Utfila, Utzedaka, Mavir Nesra, Hagzera. Now here again, I understand tefillah and tzedakah as conforming to what is always utilized as the basic areas of responsibility. Tefillah is Bein Adam L'Makom, it is the avoda of the Mishnah. Tzedakah is Milut Chasadim. One may make fine distinctions and can give many drushes as to why this word or that word is used. But I understand that they in fact synopsize the categories. I ask you though, there too, what is the third category of tshuva? And here I have a pasuk that makes clear the insight of the Vilna Gaon. Because when one asks for the source of tshuva, when one asks for the focal point of tshuva in terms of its mitzvah source, it is v'hashevosa elvavecha. It is a turning inward. It is a recognition of self. It is be what you can be, and in that light, we ought to go ahead and make a fantastic observation about a difference of perspective from the secular Western mind vis-a-vis immoral sex and the biblical halachic mind. Gilu Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. When you speak to someone in terms of the sinfulness, well, that's a word that is hardly ever used today in the outside world, but if it can be used, if one even attempts to imply the category in terms of an ethical dimension of a sort. If one speaks of the righteousness or unrighteousness of a specific sexual act, the approach from the Western mind, from contemporary society, is, well, I don't know why you're getting so excited, Rabbi. Who are we hurting? If one works with the concept of whom are we hurting, then certain things fall by the wayside immediately as not being worthy of concern. I always used to be a very strong Woody Allen fan. I still am, of his humor. But I will never forget how disappointed I was and shocked at his approach in that famous film, All You Ever Wanted to Know About Sex, when, as a humorous little part of the film, he had the illustration of bestiality, of a man having sex with a sheep, and this is a joke. From the perspective of whom are you hurting? Well, you're not hurting the sheep. Or from the perspective of the illustration you gave before, homosexuals can claim, and they do. Homosexuals cannot understand why we are upset, for their battle cry is gay avec, and their other battle cry is whom are we hurting? Whom are we hurting? We are two consenting adults. What difference does it make to you? Understand clearly that if one only had the categories of l'mokom l'chavero, one might perhaps be able to say that, but you miss the entire point. You miss the frame of reference if you do not grasp that the biblical stand is another one. Says a student to me, who am I hurting? I want to watch porno movies all day. Who am I hurting? And the correct answer to that is that halacha is concerned with one other area, and that is not the bein adam l'makom or the bein adam l'chavera, but the bein adam li'atzmo, to the extent that you extinguish the tzelem Elokim within you, to the extent that you do not live up to your potential as a human being, and we share the ability to have sex with animals, but we have something greater within us. That is the ramification of the Kedusha Kedesha dichotomy. That is why Kedoshim Tiyu means Prushim in Arayos, and that is why the word To'eva is used with regard to sexual crimes, because To'eva is different than sin. Sin relates to a failure in the category of man to God or man to fellow men. But To'eva is an abomination. What do we mean by abomination? To'eva is an untruthfulness to self. And if you ask me now, well, why should Gilu Arroyos be a Yehorek V'al Yavor? What end of the line is it that Teretz is? Gilu Arroyos is the end of the line of the third category, which we have already seen. And mind you, since some of us are preachers, let me at least add one other illustration of where the three fit in. Since I did tell you Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah, since I did tell you Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, I did tell you Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim, you should be aware that the same categorization exists with regard to that other unit of three, which is in fact identified as such, as a unit of three, Shalosh Regalim. Pesach is in fact is Amuna in Hashem. Pesach, Karban Pesach. Pesach is Avoda. Sukkos, Aser to Aser, leaving the boundaries of one's own home, the Dalet Amos of Bayis, and going out to the outside. The emphasis on the universal, the shaking towards the four corners, the Ushpizin inviting them in, all those point to the concept that implicit in Sukkos is Gmilut Chasadim. What is Shavuos, which is Torah? Shavuos is in fact the Gilu Arroyos category of the three Yehorek V'Ayavars. It is the being true to yourself. It is the Bein Adam Li'atzmo. And with this categorization, I am now prepared to understand a Sajigon brought down by Ibn Ezra that otherwise causes some difficulties. And as a matter of fact, the Ibn Ezra himself who brings down Sajigon says, I do not know what his source is, but if Sajigon said it, he must have some basis. I do not claim to tell you that I know what his source is, nor can I find a source if by source one means halachic areas wherein these categories of divisions of sequence in terms of severity vis-a-vis sexual sins can be found. But if I want to find a svara for it, the svara is the first step that we have just developed. You know that Ibn Ezra has an ongoing machlokas with Rashi on the Dibros. I don't personally believe that it's as severe as it seems, because Rashi in each of the cases is the one who makes the Dibor refer to the ultimate crime. So that Lo Tigno, for example, is Gonev Nefashos. Lo Tinov for Rashi is, Rashi says clearly, a Niuf Ela Beishas Ish. Hence, Lo Tinov refers to adultery per se and nothing else. I don't believe that Rashi only means that, because elsewhere Rashi himself brings down Sajigon, who explains the reason for the Aseres HaDibros being singled out as representing the 10 categories of Jewish law under which may be subsumed all mitzvos, even as Sajigon does in his Sefer Azharos. You can take every single mitzvah and find a source for it in a Dibur. Rashi, I think, is simply saying that the pshat, not the ramification, but the pshat is the very restricted and the most restricted, and if there is a capital crime element, it is the capital crime one. Ibn Ezra, in each of them, says it is the entire broad category. So that for Lo Tirzach, for example, beautifully, Ibn Ezra says one can violate Lo Tirzach by giving bad advice where someone gets killed as a result of it, or even by not speaking up, by being silent in a situation wherein your dibur might have saved someone's life. Hence, you could even violate Lo Tirzach by not doing anything. For Lo Tinov, Ibn Ezra says the same thing. He first attacks Rashi on the grounds that Niyuf does not mean only Beishas Ish, and he gives sources where Niyuf is used in other connections as well. And then he says, since Lo Tinov includes all the sexual aberrations, I will tell you in the name of Sadia that there is a way in which to analyze the different possibilities of sexual wrong and to put them in a scale from lesser to more severe to ultimate to the very worst crime. And here, even before we read any of this, we must sensitize ourselves first to the fact that this is quite dangerous. And Ibn Ezra at the end will warn us again, but I have to warn at the beginning. The minute you make something into a sequence and you begin with the lowest level, there will be somebody who will say, no, the first is not so bad. Okay, I'll stick with that and I won't go further. So he makes clear that every single one of them is an extremely severe Isser, is covered by Lo Tinov, but still, nevertheless, I want to tell you an order. And from the illustrations, we will very quickly see that there is a principle at work here, a master principle, and that principle will have to be analyzed by us a step further. He begins by saying, Amr of Sajagon, ki haznus amalos rabos. Please do not mistranslate that. Haznus ma'alot rabot. Znus is on many ma'alot degrees, steps. V'asher hu b'malo hakala, with a kuf. And that which is b'malo hakala, but again, so dangerous to use an expression like that with regard to heavy isurim. I can't help it, he uses it. What is on the lowest level is mishkav hapsula v'ha almana. One who has relations with a psula and almana, he doesn't explain why. You will see in a moment. We'll work backwards in just a second when we get to the next level. This level, though, is single people. He doesn't mention the male. He just says, if she is not married, that's the lowest level. V'asher l'mala mimena, a step above that in severity, mishkav ha'ish im ishto kishihi nida, ki li'acher yami ma'atim tiyeh muteres lo. I begin to see now the rationale of his formulation. I want to understand, How forbidden is forbidden? Well, how can I tell? Forbidden is forbidden, no matter what. No, I mean, I know it's wrong, but can it be made right, is the question. Is there a level of permissibility, and how difficult is that level of permissibility? Let me now work backwards. It should be obvious to us, although he didn't phrase it. Mishkav Apsulav Yalmana is a chasaron in what? Chasaron in Kiddushin. You did not have that act which should precede the sexual relationship in order to sanctify it. But that can be done quite readily. Why is the second step a step more severe? It can be done, that is to say, Ishto obviously is not usher as cheftza, is not usher by definition, it is for the present. But as a matter of fact, in a short period of time, that isur, vis-a-vis its time framework, will disappear, and then there will be chusar maisa of tefillah, but that can readily be done away with. So it is the second level of severity. Ulamala mizos. A step above this. Eishas ish. I understand that, because she's married to someone else. And there's no way in the world that I can have relations with her. My immediate question, Ibn Ezra must always do two things at the same time, that is to say, Ibn Ezra quoting Sadia. You must say why it's a step worse than the previous, and why it's not the ultimate. It is a step worse than the previous one because here it is not a yamim ma'atim that it's going to be mutter. But why isn't it the ultimate? She will never be permitted to me. But not necessarily. The day may come. The day may come, and it is interesting that he says, he does not use divorce, but he says, ki yitachen sheyamus bala utiyam uteres lo. I think the reason he uses the misa alternative as opposed to the get is because the misa is a built-in automatic, that is to say, we are mortal. Somebody's going to die first. You know the old story of the man who says, there are two possibilities. If chas v'shalom, I die first, then you get... If it meets Hashem, you die first, then there are two different possibilities. I don't know who will die first, but it's a 50-50 chance. So there is a possibility. So that is number three in the series. Ulama lo mimeno. Keeping track, we are up to four on the levels of severity. A step above. Ha'avedes kochavim. She'einenu al Torah Yisrael. Im lo nosan lo zera, with a remarkable caveat. The next in severity is a non-Jewish woman, provided at least that he did not give her seed, impregnate her. For ki yitochen she'tizgayer v'yisaeno li'isha. It is possible, but in what way is this a step worse than the previous one? Because the previous possible was at least a 50-50 built in terms of Derech HaTeva, whereas this one is not Derech HaTeva, but it's Ketinek Shenola Dami, if it is to occur. I mean, what you would require is her converting, which is certainly not a given, but that's a possibility, and then he can marry her. That's why it's not the worst of kind. Rak, very significant. Im Nosan La Zera, Oved Hu Avoda Zara Biatzma. What a remarkable phrase. But if this is a case where he had sexual relations with a non-Jewish woman and in fact impregnated her, if she has child, we are not simply talking about Gilu Arayos, then we've switched categories. We are also in Oved Avodah Zarah. In what way? A remarkable concept. I mean, this in itself could take us a while to develop, but I won't go off on it. You can be Oved Avodah Zarah Biatzma because the child will take after her. He will be raised as a heathen. He is an Oved Kochavim. You have been responsible, Mazel Tov. You have brought to this world an Oved Avodah Zarah. If Nasan La Zera, which he says, therefore, I don't even want to deal with, that is a separate question. But in Lo Nasan La Zera, then you have the next higher category. Again, higher category, by that I mean worse category. For what reason? Because its level of possible permissibility is so much more difficult to achieve. Ulamala mimeno. Moving with this system, we come to a fantastic conclusion at this point. a conclusion that would certainly shake up all of San Francisco and a great deal of Greenwich Village and a whole host of other areas, because we are now saying ulamala mimena mishkav zachar. Why? But who are we hurting? What difference does it make in terms of the who are you hurting of others? My shita is that the key to this is Bein Adam Liatzmo. And the Bein Adam Liatzmo is defined by the implicit concept of permissibility, because if it can't ever be, then God is saying, for you, you never belong with this. This has no shaychus to you. And Mishkav Zachar is amazing how many we've had before this. You're almost at the end of the line. You asked the question before in terms of a Mishkav Zachar situation. Ibn Ezra would tell us Mishkav Zachar more than Eishes Ish, She'ein lo zman heter li'olam. Now, I am well sensitive to the fact, even as Rabbi Lam wrote so beautifully in that article which appeared in the encyclopedia and was subsequently reprinted in the modern ethics books, and you all know that Rabbi Lam indicated that there are five, to his mind, five types of homosexuality, and certainly there must be some sensitivity on our parts to categories such as, take your pick, either shota, if one is insane, and perhaps one can be insane, meshuga ledavar echad, or perhaps to illness. There is still a great deal of machlokas in the psychiatric community as to whether homosexuals can be cured, or whether there is in fact an innate tendency on their part which you cannot do anything about. Rabbi Lam is willing to suggest the possibility that we do not speak of every aspect of homosexuality, but the Torah is speaking certainly of, if one places it on a strand of five different possibilities, of the fifth, which is the California model, you're not a real human being unless you've tried it both ways, unless you have expressed yourself in any manner possible, unless you really have attempted to see whether you can. In other words, it's set up as an ideal. I am not going now into a response to your issue, and I'm simply suggesting that one should be careful even from here, from drawing specific guidelines vis-a-vis special situations and how we are to treat homosexuals, because one may say that a specific homosexual instance is a type within that category that requires more compassion than condemnation. I recognize that possibility. I think, by the way, anytime, if ever, you do read this Ibn Ezra to Balabatim or in a lecture give it to people and you don't know who is in the crowd, be very careful to make that point. You never know. There are people stricken in families more than you would like to believe, and who have the problem, and who, if they would hear this simply as a complete condemnation, would be quite shocked and would be put off a great deal, and it might not be necessary. At least you could indicate this one open-ended aspect of the category. It could be a sickness, but as Rabbi Lam pointed out, and it relates to Rabbi Lerner, what you had said, surely there is all the difference in the world between saying, I understand that you're a homosexual, I have compassion for you, just like I can say I have compassion for Michal HaShabbos. I understand you're telling me you can't help yourself. I'm still telling you you're wrong, but you can't help yourself and you want to belong to the shul. Michal HaShabbos, all right, I would say yes. The other I would question, I'm still not sure. But certainly no one in his right mind would be prepared to say, let us form a new synagogue and let us call the synagogue Congregation Mechalalei Shabbat. This is our identity. We pride ourselves on this particular aspect of our behavior. That certainly is absurd, and it is within that category that I would put the congregation in Greenwich Village, whose name, by the way, ironically enough, is Congregation Simchas Torah. Interesting. Obviously, that is a wrong, and what we ought to emphasize here is that in the list of severity of Gilo Arayos, we are almost at the end of the line in Mishkav Zachar, for the reason that we have already read the few words, let us repeat them in order to get the fullest understanding of what makes it so usher. She'ein lo zman heter li'olam. Certainly one would believe that that is the end of the line if you work with the principle as stated. What more could there be? How could there be anything beyond this? Nevertheless, there is one more category, ulamala mimena, mashehu chutz mehamin, kimo im yishkav ha'adam im habehema. Fascinating that precisely that illustration, which I gave in terms of the humor of Woody Allen, where one might well say, so what? What's the big deal? Is the one that is the ultimate wrong, is the very worst, the final and the most horrible and despicable to'eva. But why? You see, even when, and we should have mentioned this before, we speak of some of the lower categories, when you speak in terms of Western mentality, vis-a-vis the crime of adultery, when you ask why, the response is, but how can you not feel? It is so horrible. Look what it's done to his wife. Look what it's done to the children. Look what it's done to, and you introduce the concept of harm to others. True, accurate, but the implication being thereby that if one could maintain a secret arrangement unknown to anyone except the two consenting partners who derive much pleasure, then what harm could there possibly be? Whom have you hurt? Again, implicit in the type of answer given is the recognition that there is no concern with the third Vilna Gaon category of Bein Adam Liatzmo. And bestiality, which is chutz min hamin, which ein lo zman heter li'olam, clearly is the ultimate of ultimates. I must just, as a passing aside, tell you of a very interesting conversation, dialogue, so to speak, in one of my shiurim, where who most of whom are farik in terms of two talmidim. So one student quite correctly raised the following question: Rabbi, if you are saying that mishkav zachor is because ein lo zman heter li'olam, then why is mishkav behema a step above? He did say ulamala mimeno, a step above this. I don't understand, vis-a-vis the principle, you're still the same. Mishkav zachar ein lo zman heter, and this ein lo zman heter. If the guiding premise is the principle, then it makes no difference and one can't make any distinctions anymore. Another student raised the possibility, I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, I'm just presenting it to you because I found it so fascinating. He said, perhaps in light of the fact that today we have sex changes, there is, in fact, although ein lo zman heter li'olam in the human arena is true as far as it goes, ein lo zman heter without surgery in the normal course of events, but something could conceivably occur, whereas min b'sheino mino with behema, that is ein lo zman heter li'olam li'olam, that is ultimately impossible. Is it not interesting that today, when we face the challenge of immoral sex from a totally unexpected area, the area to which I alluded at the outset, the area of health and survival, when we are no longer discussing questions of condom or not condom because we want children or not children, but a minister can get up in a church and hand out condoms. I grew up in a world, you must remember, those who are somewhat older, where the moon is blue was put on a censored list because they had the word pregnant in it, and to hear the word condom bandied about so is very strange, to say the least, and is culturally unsettling. To understand that there are people who speak of that in light of its health dimensions is to recognize, as we said, this whole new area of the way in which The sexual revolution has led us to a battlefield where people, in fact, could get killed. Is it not interesting that the starting point of this horrible disease is none other than the category which, in terms of Ibn Ezra's listing, Sajjah, is almost the ultimate? I do not now want to enter into the question, Barry Ferndale did discuss it somewhat in his article in Jewish Action, whether we are now to take the problem of AIDS as Hashgacha Pratis and as a divine manifestation of godly intervention in terms of the sexual revolution. I tend to think of it not so much in that sense, but rather more in terms of the Ramban's principle of consequence rather than curse. There are aspects of law where if one negates them, there is a natural consequence. It is a built-in consequence, almost like the rains, or the rains coming or not coming in the second paragraph of the Shema, which the Ramban takes in that sense. It's a consequence. I must share with you something that then happened when I mentioned this particular point to a congregant of mine who is working with someone who now is doing research work on AIDS. And all of a sudden, this congregant grasped his head and said, "Oh my God, Rabbi, now I understand. This is the most fantastic thing I've heard." They have, I don't know if I have the right to say they have discovered. There is a significant view now that AIDS started in Africa when somebody or some peoples had sexual relations with apes and were chutz min ha-min. If that be the case, then not only is our present problem a resultant of violation in terms of category number 5 almost up there, but it in fact is an outgrowth of the very, very ultimate. With that, and I conclude, I understand not only the uniqueness of Gilui Arayos as a category and the mindset of the Jew being different than the secular world, the way in which we treat the problem and its halachic ramifications, which you so beautifully pointed out, but I see on a somewhat different level an ability to understand the pasuk Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. That, of course, in the Gemara is the source of Mahu Afato. And if we say that Kedoshim Tiyu refers to the sexual dimension, which it does, and that is the key to Kedusha, that same verse being a fulfillment of Mahu Afato, in fact means just as he is he, Mahu Afato, so too you have an obligation to be you and to imitate him because he is within you, because you are B'Tselem Elokim. And hence, the Gilui Arayos factor, which has this unique status in Jewish law, must have this status because it's not simply a question of how I relate to God, and it's not simply a question of how I relate to other people. It is the ultimate question. In Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur terms, Zushia, why aren't you Zushia? You can do it in that form, but in the simplest terms of all, even before I must relate to others, and even before I must relate to God, Vahashivosa el levavecha, and purity, and the concept of proper sexual practice, as opposed to Gilui Arayos, is man finding not simply God, or finding his fellow men, but man finding himself. Yes. That's an excellent question. I've been asked that any number of times, and I give up. I have never been able to figure out a good answer, nor seen a good answer. I can only suggest that it must be included in one of the other categories. We can debate which one, but I have been asked that by perceptive individuals such as yourself, and I really don't know. It's an excellent question. I find it fascinating that of all the things that he did bring up, that he ignored that. Excellent. Yes. Uh, if you will, I beg to differ with you. Ibn Ezra, on the Pusik, of course, there was a relationship which subsequently would become Usser Midaraisa. The question is, how was he allowed? The answer is, yes, it was Kodem Matan Torah, but that still doesn't solve the question if it innately is a wrong because it would produce a genetic defect of some kind in the child. So Ibn Ezra here says as follows. He says, V'lo davar nechona ha'omer, ki tvuas ha'sada ha'nizras b'sada acheres tatzliach, rak be'osa sada atzmo lo satzliach kera'ui. It is not correct, the explanation given by those who say, and he uses the metaphor of planting and cross-planting, and he says, you will get a better crop if you plant, if you seed in another field, tatzliach, you will succeed. Rak be'osa. Find that further. If you mean kedoshim prushim, fine, I accept that. Of course, one could argue with Ibn Ezra's premise. In general, one could say that the Torah feels subsequently that most products of such a union will in fact be inferior. Hence, the Torah forbade it. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Yotzim in Haklal. In fact, also, genetically, we tend to say today that too close unions based on Darwinian, based on Mendelian principles are going to create either one of the following, either genius or madman, either one of the other extremes. So Moshe was Yatzman HaKal, thank God he was this, but I would not be prepared to go that far. Otherwise, it would be an interesting Lushitasso in Ibn Ezra. That one is on Perek Beis and Shemos Pasuk Aleph. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.